Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning is found in the gospel lesson of the day, Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. Jesus said, "What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. He came to the second and said the same thing. The second son answered, 'I will go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, but you did not believe him. However, the tax collectors and the prostitutes did believe him. Even when you saw this, you did not change your mind and believe him." This is our text. Dear people of God, my favorite Bible heroes are Moses and John the Baptist. Moses was the first of the Old Testament prophets, and he spoke to God like a man speaks with his friend. John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets, and he got to speak to Jesus himself, which was the goal and the dream of every Old Testament believer. John the Baptist is the focal point of Jesus' story today. If you don't know who John the Baptist is or what John preached, then this may not make a whole lot of sense to you. For John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Christ. He came just before Jesus entered his ministry to prepare the people's hearts to receive the Messiah, the promised one, Jesus himself. And Jesus says that John came to Israel in the way of righteousness. Now we know that no human being has any righteousness of their own, not even the great John the Baptist. So how can Jesus say that John came in the way of righteousness? Well, John came to point people away from himself and to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Do you want righteousness? Do you want the approval of God? Then don't follow John, but follow the one that John points us to, Jesus, the Lamb of God. And how do you follow Jesus? Well, John said in his preaching all the time, by repentance and faith. Confess your sins to the Lord and believe that Jesus has washed them all away. Now the Pharisees, the good people, the self-righteous men, thought that they had no need of repentance and no need of this Jesus. They straight out rejected John and his way and his preaching, even though they tried to hide among his followers. The Pharisees actually came out to where John was preaching and tried to get baptized along with everybody else. They thought that they could hide among John's followers. They thought that John didn't have the guts to call them out. Boy, were they wrong. Because John did call them out in front of everyone. John called these Pharisees a brood of vipers. A condemnation that Jesus later repeated. But here in this text, Jesus told those Pharisees, along with the Sadducees, and this is Tuesday of Holy Week, a story. A story about these two brothers and their father. And the father told both of the sons that they should go out and work in the vineyard. And the first son said that he would not do it, but then he did it. And the second son said that he would do it, but then he did not go and work. And Jesus asked the Pharisees then, which of the two did the will of his father? And they answered, the first son. Well, is that the right answer? Jesus accepts their answer, at least he doesn't correct their answer, but is it the right answer? Let's look at the question through fresh eyes and see if what they said was correct. Which of the two did the will of his father? Now, if you were the father, and you saw and heard what the two sons said and did, would you say that the first one did your will? No. They were both wrong. Both of them messed it up. Both of them sinned against their father. The difference is that the first son repented. The first son figured out that what he had said was wrong, and then he changed his ways, which is what repentance means. Repentance means walking in one direction and then turning around and going the other way. The second son also changed his ways, but he changed it for the worse because he had said the right things. He had the right words. He looked good on the outside. He had good outward appearance. But a close examination of the second son shows that he was even a bigger sinner than the first brother. And then at the end of the story, Jesus said to these Pharisees and Sadducees, these high priests and teachers of the law, "Amen, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." Now, tax collectors were traitors and thieves. Tax collectors made a conscious choice to steal from their countrymen. A tax collector in that day was hated by his fellow Jews and was even kicked out of the synagogues, excommunicated. So why would anyone want to be a tax collector? Because of the money. They made good money. A tax collector made a conscious choice. Should I live a decent life and maybe be poor, or should I live a wicked life and maybe get rich? And they chose the money. Prostitutes also, by definition, they lived in a profession that was totally wicked and yet earned them money. And Jesus says that those conscious sinners were getting into the kingdom of God ahead of the holy Pharisees and Sadducees. But how? The life of the tax collectors and the prostitutes, that wicked life, certainly did not make them lovable to God. They did not do enough good works to make up for their evil ways. Yet they were getting into the kingdom of God before the holy men. How? By faith alone in Jesus. The tax collectors and the prostitutes of Jesus' day believed in Jesus. They believed that he was strong enough to save them. And they were right. And they were saved. They had faith alone in Jesus. Not in themselves, not in their own works, not in their offerings, but alone in Jesus. But faith is never alone. Like the first son in Jesus' story, the tax collectors and the prostitutes changed their ways. They repented of their wicked lives and they turned to the way of righteousness. See, Jesus did not win us the forgiveness of sins so that we could go running back to our sin like a dog to its vomit. Jesus did not free us so that we could sin more. Another time, when the Pharisees were going to stone a prostitute to death, that's the famous story where Jesus said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And then when they all walked away, refusing to condemn her, Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Pharisees and Sadducees had no desire to do this. They had no desire to believe in Jesus. And they had no desire to turn away from their life of sin. And so again, Jesus told them in verse 31, "Amen, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." Ahead of you. Ahead of you can mean a couple of different things. It can mean that one person goes in and that another person also goes in, but a little bit later. Yet most of the time in Jesus' parables, the one who comes later comes too late and is locked out completely. Think of the foolish virgins who did not bring enough oil in their lamps for the whole night. They were locked out of the wedding banquet altogether. Or in Jesus' story of those trying to walk on the narrow way, those who didn't make it were left outside where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Which brings us back to the teaching of John the Baptist, who called these proud men to repentance. And when you think about it, John really didn't condemn them. What John was doing was trying to save them. Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near. And I baptize you with water for repentance. But the one who comes after me is mightier than I. And look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John wanted them and us to see Jesus and believe. Now, John is not calling you Pharisees or tax collectors or prostitutes, because really, we are probably worse than all of them, because we know better. We have been taught what sin is, and yet we still choose to sin. We have been taught and we have tasted the goodness and the mercy of God, and yet we still continue to choose sin. If there is anyone who should be locked out of the kingdom, it should be us. Ezekiel, in our Old Testament lesson for today, just kills us. He said, "If a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and practices unrighteousness, he will die because of it. But if a wicked man turns from his wickedness that he has done and practices justice and righteousness, he will preserve his life." We fail on both points. We were never the righteous man, and we could never do enough to make up for our wickedness. As the disciples said, "Who then can be saved?" Well, with man, that is impossible, but not with God. Jesus did not just die for new sinners and for new Christians. When we say that Jesus died for all, we also mean that Jesus died for you, old, practiced sinners who continue to struggle every day with temptation and anger and lust and drink and gossip. Jesus died for you too. So do not get comfortable in your sins. Be able to identify your sins. It's very easy to identify sin in other people. Identify sin in yourself and repent of it. Take your sin to the Lord and say, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And then believe. Believe that Jesus has taken away all of your sin. Not just some of them. Jesus hasn't just begun to take away part of your sin and left you to mop up the rest bit. No, no. Jesus' blood washes away all of your sin. And he gives you his righteousness in front of the Father. And therefore, all glory, honor, and praise belongs to him, not to you and me. All glory belongs to Jesus Christ, my Savior and yours. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.